Let's take our Bibles, turn to Psalm 104. We're going to read a verse over towards the end of the chapter and a couple of verses in Psalm 105. Good to have you here in the house of God. Appreciate you being here today. Thank God for a place to come and worship. As we look today in Psalm 104, we're going to begin reading at verse 33. We're going to read that verse, Psalm 104, verse 33. The Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And if you look down at Psalm 105, down verse 2, it says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. As we take the time and get around the Word of God this morning, I want to preach to you this morning on church music. Church music. I think this subject's never dealt with in the right way, and I want to deal with it in the right way today from the Word of God as we go to the Lord in prayer. Church music. Father, we love you. Lord, as we come to you today, we see the Bible points out a particular way to have church music, and I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, to follow that pattern, that we would exclude ourselves from anything that's not according to the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus today. God, help every Christian in this room, God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, if there be anybody hearing the sound of my voice that's lost and undone without you, God, you'd save them before we walk out of this building. And Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look today, people want their own style of music. And they want it not only in their car stereo, but they want it in the church. And by their style, I'm referring to some people like rap music, some people like country music, some people like rock music, some people like progressive music, some people like bluegrass music. And whatever style they particularly like, they want that to be in the house of God because they think whatever they like, everybody likes it. Whatever they're doing, everybody's doing. That's the mindset of people in general. Secondly, I say this, people want their own stanzas of music. Some people prefer hymns, and some people prefer choruses. And by choruses, I mean 7-11 music, where you say the same 7 words 11 times. And you whoop the crowd up into a frenzy type thing. And people also want their own sort of music. Now, when you get to gospel music, there's a crowd that's Southern gospel that says all the rest is wrong. There's a crowd that's contemporary that says all the rest of them's wrong. And then we have the high church music that says everybody else is beneath them. You get it, they're way up here, we're all just down here. Generally, those churches have an orchestra. We have one as well. It just doesn't consist of as many pieces as, you know, the Philharmonic or something like that. We're called the country harmonic because we in the country and we harmonic. Amen and amen. Amen. But songs take many verses to voice praise unto our God. And I want to submit to you the biblical instructions concerning church music and the right way to sing church music. Now, I've been accused of in the past of people saying that I don't like their kind of music or this type of music. I'll be honest with you. I see these people that come in with the contemporary music and the country music and the Southern gospel music and any of that. I don't have a problem really with anything you're doing with your music. But when I have a problem with it, it's because of what you do with the Lord. When you go out of bounds and start singing about your snuff-dipping granny and how she used to pray on the front porch while hitting a spittoon, I got a problem with that. That's not church music. Right. And listen, if the song you singing is about you and not about him, I got a problem with that thing. And there's a lot of folks that come in and say, well, I want to be the next big star down at your church. We don't need no stars down here. Listen, we strut while we're sitting down. We're so proud now. We're trying to get away from all that stuff. Amen. We're trying to get back to a humble position where we come in and we worship God Almighty and we sing songs to him and we praise his name. Listen, the least you could do is not tell us about Grandpa's faith. Tell us about Bible faith.
All right.
Now, we look at biblical instructions concerning church music. I find we have a different view of things than what we see in the world and what we see in most churches. Now, let's look over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. We're talking about church music. I'm not talking about what you play at the house. I'm not talking about what you enjoy on your iPod or whatever. I'm talking about church music. Church music. Christian music. Church music. As we look at the church music, listen to this. Most of the people today, they say, well, if we play it, they will come. Well, they said that about a baseball field, and yet we rode one by one yesterday. It was very empty. They had built it, and no one come. And I noticed that years ago, and I was looking this other day, that you remember the L.A. Coliseum? You know what that is? That's that great big football stadium they got out there in Los Angeles. I remember years ago they held the first Super Bowl there. And that thing didn't sell out. You know why? There's so many empty seats there because that thing was so big and the game was not as popular as it is now. But, and they said, if we build it, they'll come. They didn't come. They ain't had one there since, I don't think, because they won't come.
No.
But notice this. Listen, you it's not if you build it, you will come. Listen, we get to see, we want to come and sing to the Lord. And the Bible says, next is chapter 15. The background setting for what's fixing to be said is this. The children of Israel came through a parted sea. And when they got through to the other side, the Egyptian army came into that place chasing after them. And God let the water kill all of them. Why? Because they were trying to kill his people. They would have wiped them off off planet Earth if they could have. If you think what Hitler did to the Jews was something, they planned to do it in Egypt too. They just didn't get as far along as he did. But yet both crowds fail because God keeps those people alive for a reason. We're coming up on the rapture of the church here before long. And when that happens, God's going to deal with that Jew again.
Right.
But as we sing and we look at church music and the biblical instructions and concerning church music, Exodus 15 verse 1, the Bible says this. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. Who are we singing to? We're singing to the Lord. Underline these next words here. For he hath triumphed gloriously. For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Number one instruction, we're to sing of the demonstration of his power. They were singing to God because of the demonstration of what he did to deliver them out of the hand of people that oppressed them, that put them in slavery, and they all they ever did was come down there, listen, and they came out of a famine, went into Egypt 430 years prior to that. The Bible says when the book of Exodus starts off, there arose a new king who knew not Joseph, and they put him into slavery. And God raised up Moses to bring them out of there when he would confront Pharaoh. Y'all know, if you read the Bible, you know the confrontations they had. The Pharaoh, the king, would say, yeah, I don't think you could go that far to worship your God. You can go so far, but don't go that far. And then he would change and not do what he said. And God, the Bible says Pharaoh would literally harden his heart after God removed that plague. But then there's a dangerous thing happened. Then God started hardening Pharaoh's heart. And when all that was said and done, God brought his children out of there and brought them all the way to the Red Sea. They were over there. Behind them was this army pursuing them. And they were coming to kill every one of these unarmed people.
Yep.
Now think about that. They didn't even have a weapon to their name.
Yep.
Didn't have a chariot, didn't have a horse. That's usually how people like to attack people.
Yeah.
And they like to come out there and flex their army muscle and do all that. But listen, God had a plan. That plan was to bring them people to the side of the Red Sea. But there were no bridges built and they needed dry land to go over on. So God provided both. He opened up those waters. Listen, he opened up those waters. They walked over on dry land, the Bible said. They got to the other side. God let all of them get down in there chasing them and took away that protection there. That water got them.
Yep.
What were they singing to the Lord about? A demonstration of his power.
Right.
Hey, listen, you remember when you used to hug the toilet and all that and pray and say, God, if you ever get me out of this drunk, I'll never come back here again. Hey, do you remember that time you tried to quit some kind of habit you had? You said, oh God, if you'll help me, you'll help me. And you know what God did? He saved your never dying soul. He parted the waters where you could walk right over there. And now when you pick up the old hymn book and start singing to him, guess what you're doing? You're singing to him about the demonstration of the power where he came to you and you could not come to him. And now we're singing to him because of a demonstration of his own power.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like looking back and thinking what great things God hath done and what God hath wrought and how he come through for them. Listen, this story didn't mean as much to me after I got saved when God did it for me.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, instead of a true story, it's a personal story. I can relate to it now because I remember those times when you couldn't come out of something. I remember those times when I had no victory. But now we come to the Word of God and we sing into him. We say, Lord, let me pick up this song, this song book here. Let me sing about the demonstration of your power in my life. I like this, boy. I tell you what. Look up 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, down at verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. When a person gets saved, we are to sing of the demonstration of his power. Second biblical instruction, 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 56. The Bible says here, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. That little phrase gets me right there. There hath not failed one word of all his promise. We're to sing not only the demonstration of his power, but the duration of his promises. How long has God's promises last? As long as he said they would. Yep. I've heard people come along, and I've lived long enough now. I remember when Jimmy Carter planned to turn the country around. I heard Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton got together the other day and was thanking God for Obama because he's the only one that makes them look like better presidents than they actually were. Remember Jimmy? Hello, Rosalind. Remember him? Listen to this. We're to sing of the duration of his promises. I remember when they got up and I've heard every politician in this town promise something they hadn't delivered.
Yep.
Oh, I promise if you elect me, I'll do this, 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 and this. Here it is, 5-6 years later, and they forgot that list.
Yep.
I seen the presidential candidates all getting together on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, and they're all promising things. But like their predecessors, we don't see a lot of them promises being held up to.
Right.
You say, I'm a Democrat, and that offends me. Wait till I get on your crowd. I'm just on the Republicans right now.
Well.
Listen to me. The biblical instructions concerning church music, we don't sing of the praises of the promises of the politicians. He said, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise.
Yeah.
I'm glad, thank God, about the duration of his promises. I know we get to singing in the hymn book and we sing about him. We can sing about the duration of his promises because there's not one of them ever failed.
Right.
I've had people I've seen and read in the scripture where I'm looking at people's lives. People would turn on people that promised to be with them. There has been marriages broken apart because the promises were not fulfilled. But I know, thank God, when you come to him, his promises still stand and he keeps every one of them. There's people that will literally have the best intentions in the world. And I've seen and noticed that there's a lot of people, listen, whether you believe it or not, everybody has good intentions. They just don't have good follow through to go with those intentions. That's why so many people wind up in hell. Mm-hmm. They have good intentions to come get saved and things like that. But when I look in the Word of God, I find this out. If the duration of his promises stand, that must mean he's exactly who he says he is. He's God, and that's him.
Right.
I keep looking at the duration of his promises, and the best ones are this. He promised us eternal life. You know why? He not only promised it, he came and delivered it and stays with you till the thing's over. He said, I'll be with you all the way. I'm glad of that because I know this. If the duration was on my promise I'd do right, I wouldn't have made it past 2 days.
Right.
And I'm giving myself way too much credit by saying that second day. I'm considering sleeping through the first one, you understand. But I see here that we sing of the duration of his promises, because everything he's promised, he's brought to pass.
Right.
For all these replacement theology people that say, oh, well, listen, God's done with that Jew. I'm going to tell you something that'll just absolutely blow your mind. When he said that he had blessed them that blessed them and cursed them that cursed them, he does that all the way today in 2016. When he said he would do that thing, he's still doing that thing. He promised Abraham that, he still got it. Listen, when he promised him he's going to multiply his seed. Listen, I mentioned Hitler a while ago. He tried to wipe out every one of them, and there was still more he could get to.
Right.
Why? Because God multiplied their seed. You know, we can take a census in America, and we can count everybody here, and we say we got so many citizens. And then when we go to the rest of the world, they don't have a census, so we estimate what they have. And it's estimated there's 7.5 billion people in this world. There may be more, there may be less, but you mark this down. If all of them were to die today, that Jew would be here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somehow, in some way. And when we get to the very fact of the matter, they live on the smallest piece of property over in the Middle East. Everybody wants it.
Yep.
Everybody wants it. It's not because of the oil underneath them there hills. It's because they all live in a desert, and there's one little green patch over there. What that bunch don't realize is every time they took land from that Jew, whether it's the Gaza Strip or whatever, as soon as they move the Arabs in there, guess what happens? It turns to dirt.
Yep.
It's amazing. But we move a Jew, put the Jews back on, and all of a sudden there's green grass and all this other stuff and growing and fruit and trees and gardens and it's amazing.
Well,
why? God promised him people.
Right.
As you look down through history, there's so many people that over the years has never figured this out. But I'm going to let you in on something. Probably every one of the famous stars you like, probably 4 out of 5 of them are Jewish or Jewish descendants. If they're rich.
Yeah.
So I know a poor Jew. He's kidding you. He's a tightwad. He don't want to let you know what he's got. Had a man tell me not long ago. He said, I got more money than this Jewish friend I got. And I said, not for long. I said, he'll have yours for long. You keep running that mouth. He said, why is that? I said, because God will humble you and give you everything you got to him if you ain't careful. What do? We sing of the duration of his promises. When somebody accepts Christ as their Savior, we got the duration of his promises all the way through eternity.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, us Gentiles can get grafted into some promises of God. The promise of eternal life. The promise that he said he didn't save us into wrath. He saved us to heaven, amen. He saved us from hell and to heaven. He saved us from a life sin to a life in Christ. And he promised that. And he's good on his word.
Amen.
So I know a Christian that didn't do that one time. I can't help that because I can't help another Christian's promises. I can't keep half my own, but I know he keeps all of his.
Right. Yeah.
If you look over to Psalm 13. The Bible instruction concerning music is this, Psalm 13, verse 6. He said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I notice that we also are to sing of the dealings with his people. This same psalmist that said, I'll sing of the Lord because he dealt me bountifully, said this. He said, I've not seen God's seed even out there begging bread. You know why? God provides. And because of the dealings with his people, I know that somehow in some way, when God says go do something, and he tells his people, y'all go do something, he's always there to provide every need they've got for it, no matter what that need might be. I've heard people over the years, they thought they were in such a position financially that they'd never have to worry about anything, and by one stroke of the pen by the lawmakers, their job was gone. And they were out of business, and there they was sitting there with all them payments and everything, and that house and everything. They said, how are we going to make it? And God said, I've still got you.
Right.
Yeah. I've still got you. I've heard people tell me, they say, listen, you preachers, y'all get up and preach on faith, and y'all say all this stuff, and people hand y'all money. I'm going to tell you something. If you think we so rich, you go open your storefront up there and let me know how it works out for you after the first year.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it. But what I do know is this. When God says that he will deal with you and he'll deal with you bountifully as people, if he sends you to do something, you may not drive around the Cadillac and do it. You may have to drive around that Pinto and do it, but the Pinto will run.
That's right. Amen.
And for those of you that don't know what a Pinto is, they don't make them no more for a reason. I remember cars that come along that people said was the next big thing. And now the American Motor Company is out of business.
Yeah. Yep.
They said, oh, check out our car. It's a DeLorean. It'll last forever. It's made out of this. It was so hard on gas, even back in the 80s. They said, we can't afford that gas for that thing. But you know what God does? He deals with his people. Whatever he sends you out to do, he'll send you out to do, and he'll put you on the thing, and he'll finance your project. He'll put you wherever you need to be, and he's still able to do all that.
Yeah.
Somehow, in some way, and I don't know how God always gets this done, but I've noticed something among even foreign missionaries. God takes too good care of us. Sometimes we fat. Ain't that good? You've been sitting there wondering about, man, listen, I'm about to go on a diet. I'm going to do this. That's all fine and good. But have you ever thought about that when you sing, start dealing, how God has literally had dealings with his people and he moved on you so good, you've got a lot of stuff there and you're able to eat?
Right.
I'd rather have a lot of stuff to eat than a big old car driving. You know why? I can't eat that car if things get bad.
That's right. Yeah.
But I know this much, we're to sing of the dealings he's got with his people. And boy, I tell you what, I turn around and look at God's people, I see God being gracious to all of us. In a foreign field, a fellow told me this not long ago. He said, when we get over that foreign field, he said, when they get past, we're Americans, and they see God's dealing with us, how he deals with people. He said, it opens up people's eyes a lot of times because they know that if God blessed us and he saved us, after they get saved, they know God blessed them.
That's right.
Don't listen to TV preachers said if you send me $1, you get $1,000 back. They don't believe it.
Mm.
They're just trying to get whatever they can get out of you.
Right.
But I do know this. We're to sing of his dealings with people. Look up Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. We're singing of the dealings with his, how God deals with his people. Psalm 89, verse 1. Look at this thing here. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. We're to sing of the dealings with his people. How does God deal with his people? He deals bountifully and he deals mercifully. I'm glad that, listen, I've got a Father in heaven that doesn't strike me dead if I make one mistake.
Amen.
I've noticed that parents sometimes overcorrect their children. By that I mean this. You wait until you're so mad you're about ready to bite nails, then you try to correct the child. Don't do that. Make it easy on yourself. Correct them in love the first time, and you won't get mad after the 50th time telling them.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't look at this, but listen, the pattern you learn to parent from is not anybody you know unless you know the Lord and you learn it from him. And listen, he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord. If you wait too long, you overcorrect a child, and then that child thinks you're out to get them all the time. Most children, reason they slip around and do stuff is because two things. One, they're full of sin and the devil. Somebody say, amen right there. Don't worry, kids. I'll get them parents in a minute. You just hang on. And the second reason is this. They'll do things to get your attention, and then you overcorrect them, so they don't want to do. They don't try to do anything around you, so they try to slip around, try to do anything, just so you don't get mad at them because they're afraid you might overcorrect them.
Well,
now watch this, children. You know why your parents do that? Because their parents did it to them. They learned from the masters. It's been passed down all in generations, or has it? See, it takes time to learn stuff like this.
Right.
And usually by the time you learn it, your kids are 25. Go back to your kids, tell them I did wrong. They'll believe you.
Right.
Ask them, listen, say, listen, I did some things wrong when I was raising you. I apologize. Yeah. You don't have to be tough with your children. They know who you really are. And when you know who God really is, you see how he's dealt with you mercifully. Deal with other people like that.
Yeah.
Jesus told all them parables over about how this man owed money and he come over and he forgave him the debt. But when somebody owed him, boy, he put their thumbs in a vise and everything else wanting to squeeze that penny out of them. Hey, listen, you don't want to be like that because how did God deal with you again?
That's right.
Somebody comes on and says, I ain't forgiving such and such. Well, listen, how did God deal with you? You did far more sins against God than that one person has ever did to you in a lifetime.
That's right.
We're to sing of his dealings with his people. Look over at Psalm 103. A few pages over to the right. Psalm 103 down at verse 10. Psalm 103 verse 10. Psalm 103 verse 10. We sing of the dealings with his people. He dealt with us bountifully and he dealt with us mercifully. But oh, I like this one. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. All these Christians that get out here and they think that now that they're saved, they're sinless and they crucify everybody around them. Guess what? You sin too, pal.
Well,
your soul saved. You're sealed until the day of redemption. You are God's child. But your flesh has never been saved, and it will sin, and it will commit some of the worst atrocities you could possibly accuse somebody else of doing.
Yeah.
However, we sing, we pick up that hymn book, we say, thank God he didn't deal with us. Listen, everybody's worried about what somebody thinks about them, and that's good. You don't want to have a bad testimony. I understand that. But I'm thanking God today he hadn't dealt with us according to our sins and rewarded us according to our iniquities, because if he did, he would have passed every one of us by in salvation, threw us all in hell, and they wouldn't have been nobody saved.
Right.
Because he dealt with us, listen, he dealt with us, listen, in that mercy, and he's dealt with us in grace. He did not have to do any of that. He said, I choose to do this.
That's right.
Listen, we are to sing of the dealings with his people. Hey, I've seen people in church. Let me show you how they do this thing. They get a hymn book and they come in. They first come in. They look around, see if anybody else is singing. Then after about a week or two, they'll notice that nobody else is looking at them when they sing. They'll sing. Then after a while, their lips actually move and things come out and they sing. But you give that guy a year, that woman a year or two down the road, and they've been around. Then all of a sudden they do this. Get to the last verse, all pridefully singing. That ain't how you do it, honey. Remember how God dealt with you? Here's how he dealt with you. The Bible said he humbly came to that cross and laid down his life to die for your sins. Nothing prideful there. I used to get on our people in choir about, listen, these people out here just got saved. They don't know what's going on in these hymn books. But I notice this. Every time they close them up here, they close them out here. And we wonder, say, why ain't everybody singing? Well, we got so many strutting their way out of this choir every Sunday morning, Sunday night, that the people out here think, well, we'll just let them sing. They know all about it.
Well,
you thought I was meddling a while ago, didn't you? Hey, listen.
Preach.
We all in this together.
That's right.
Don't put that hymn book down. Listen, people's watching you. They listen. God put you here. Hey, listen. He saved you. And we sing of his dealings with his people. Don't be lifted up in pride because you can sing.
Right.
Be lifted up in humility. God didn't take that thing away from you and let you have it.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Thank God he hadn't dealt with us according to our sins. There's one last thing I want to show you over in Isaiah 46. We see that the biblical instructions concerning music go like this. We're to sing of the demonstration of his power. We're to sing of the duration of his promises. We're to sing of the dealings with his people. But don't forget this one. We're to sing of the deity of his person. He is God. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I like that. Can I tell you something? I've never met anybody like him before, and I don't think I ever will again. Nobody can do what he does. And nobody is justified standing up in any church and singing to anybody other than him.
Right.
Because of who he is.
Amen.
There's a lot of performers we have in Christianity today.
Yeah.
They perform. They perform in the pulpit. They perform their preaching. They perform their singing. They perform. But then there's some, and you'll only find a handful here and there, that sing of the deity of his person. Everything, when they stand up to sing, they're not concerned about so much whether they're on key. They're concerned about whether they're in tune with him.
Right.
They're not concerned so much with whether you'll like the music of their song. They're worried whether or not he'll like it.
Yeah.
They're concerned, listen, they won't have to tell you, just listen to these words. No, if you listen to those words, they exalt him and they say, there's none like him.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what. Music will affect you and affect your feelings. It'll make you happy, sad, glad, and all this other stuff. But there's just something about a song that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden that thing just pulls you right in there and you start either you know the words or don't. And all of a sudden you want to sing with them.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're singing about him and the deity is a person. I can't sit with my wife and some of y'all are singing up here doing specials and stuff. Because I get to singing long and I don't realize it. So if you hear something out of key, it's me doing it. But I can't help myself.
Amen.
Because when y'all get talking about him getting up from the grave and the blood and the power of his resurrection and how great he is, I can't help but sing along with you if I know it. I just love it. I love to sing him. Why? And this is what happens. And it happens to you. This happens to every saved person. There's somebody inside you that's not you, it's him.
Yep.
And you get to lifting up Christ, boy, he gets to wanting to lift up too.
Right.
There's a lot of people in this world say, well, I don't like them churches where they shout. I don't like them where they don't, but I'll go there and preach to them because everybody needs preaching and everybody's not the same.
Right.
But I know this much, whether you one of them hollerers and run around the buildingers, when they get to singing about your Lord, son, there's something inside you. Listen, even at First Baptist, they talk about, amen.
Yeah. Come on.
Further you get away from the city limits, the louder the churches get sometimes. But I know this. Whether you're in a loud one or a quiet one, they get to singing about him. Boy, you get tore up inside about that thing.
Amen.
I was at a funeral a while back, and this guy had died. And 20, 30 years before he died, him and his family was in a singing group together. And I'll never forget this thing. We got there, and they said, we're going to do something a little different for this funeral. Instead of having singing, we're going to let them sing. And they put in a tape of them doing the old Rugged Cross a cappella. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I bet they ain't shouted in that little church like that in 85 years. But they got to shouting in there and crying. And before long, listen, when they got to singing about that hill far away and all other stuff, they wasn't weeping because they lost their friend. They was weeping because they was singing about the deity of his person.
Yeah.
The Lord was high and lifted up. And all the saved people's in there getting stirred up over that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what. You say, well, I bet the preacher can preach. Son, listen, that little preacher got on with it that day. There's just something about when you lift him up.
It.
A lot of people have asked Brother Kirsch and me, they say, did y'all plan the song service out with a sermon? Well, I use it on what I'm going to preach to get up here half the time. I study about four or five things to get ready. I'm indecisive sometimes. But somehow it always goes together. Well, there's a secret, and I'll let you in on it. Say, y'all got one in programs, don't you? Yeah, we got a program. Here it is. He prays about what song to sing. I pray about what to preach. And God brings the whole thing together. And if one of us is wrong, get this. As long as it's about him, it seems like it goes together.
Right.
I'm just admitting the truth here.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about his end. I'm talking about my end so more so. But I know when we sing about the deity of his person, we get to preach on the deity of his person, we get to lift him up, boy, God gets in that thing.
Right.
I like it like that.
Amen.
I've heard people tell over the years, they say, listen, If your church music isn't like ours, it's not right. Well, I got something I want to say to every one of them. It's a big old fat Greek word. You ready for it? Baloney. Here's the measuring stick. The measuring stick ain't how your church does it or how this church does it. It's how God said to do it.
Right.
And he said to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Again, I'm not opposed to folks shouting or not shouting. I've seen folks cry while the songs being sung, and I wanted to cry too, they were so bad. But I have seen people get in tears just thinking about what was being sung on because it was sung about the Lord.
Yeah.
And how great he was.
Yeah.
And I know this, at the end of the day, when we sing of the deity of his person, I know this, when we get to singing about him, you can go look in the Minor Prophets. There's a verse over there that says, God will quieten down heaven so he can hear his people shouting and praising him. Oh, listen, can you think about this? When somebody's singing about the deity of his person on 462 Brickhouse Road, God says, shh, they're singing about me down there.
Yeah.
They're singing about me. Oh, listen. Hey, the word, that song, they're about me. Listen to that thing. Can you imagine God getting all of heaven quiet where they've been shouting over people getting saved and different things just so he can hear somebody down here praising his holy name? Lifting him up. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. May every song we sing in this church be for you. May it be, God, that everything that we do in this church, from this platform, Lord God, may it be because we love you. And God, we want to sing to you. God, you gave us so many things to sing about. And the Bible even says you gave us a new song when you got us. And I pray, God, that you'll do a work in our hearts. Lord, today while I'm here, I'm not going to be deceived myself. I remember sitting in services just like this where you got in the message and you got in the songs and I walked out lost. Lord, if there's anybody here that's lost and undone without you, Lord, as I've tried my best to lift up Christ, we've tried to lift him up in these songs, Lord, that you'll deal with somebody and draw them to Christ today that they might be saved. And Lord, we love you and God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.